Hello, my name is Professor Smada Rosenzweig. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Iyov Perek Yud Aleph, Iyov chapter 11. To recap, Iyov persists in his view that there is no divine providence guiding individuals on this earth. He proves this by the image of the storm that injures both the righteous and the wicked. Therefore, since there is no divine providence, hashkacha pratit, God is increasing Iyov's wounds for nothing, chinam, for no reason. God does not let Iyov even catch his breath between agonies. And furthermore, if there is divine justice, how can a plague come suddenly and make everyone, including the innocent, suffer? If this is divine providence, the world is in the hands of a wicked king who covers the faces of the judges so they cannot perform their job to judge justly. So maybe it is better to deny divine providence, the fact that God watches on the earth and cares about every single person, than to attribute injustice to God. Maybe it is better to theorize that God does not bother with lowly creatures like man. So Iyov is trying to decide that really God is not the one who is punishing him, and God's not really interested in the particulars, in the details. Here in chapter 11, in Perek Yud Aleph, Tsofar ha-Na'amati, Tsofar the Na'amathite, responds to Iyov. This is the third friend responding. Before we hear the eloquent words of Tsofar, a little introduction is called for. Tsofar is going to present ideas that are very similar to the messages we heard from the friends Eliphaz and Bildad. Their main point, that God is just, is repeated here as well. Eliphaz, the first respondent, the first friend, and I put that in quotations at this point, said he had a vision that revealed to him the concept of divine justice. Bildad, the next friend, invokes ancestral wisdom to support his opinions. So he moved from a vision, almost like a prophetic vision, to Bildad, who says this is the ancestral wisdom. We know from generations earlier, Tsofar will base his views on straightforward and simple belief and knowledge that divine wisdom is beyond man's comprehension. And man cannot fathom God's ways, which means man is man, God is God. And how could man know what God is doing and thinking? Now, Iyov himself already proposed this idea of the loftiness and unknowable quality of divine wisdom. Remember earlier, Iyov said this in a critical way, that God uses his elevated knowledge and power to intimidate, punish, and hide his reasons for his actions here on earth. So Tsofar is responding to Iyov. You do not know God's thoughts and actions, and the fact that God chose to do this to you proves your guilt. Because God is always right. Your job, Iyov, is to repent. And as we saw earlier, the criticisms of Iyov's behavior escalates with each friend. And that pattern continues here as well. Tsofar will tell Iyov in no uncertain terms that he must have sinned more than God's amount of punishment, and that he and his house were for sure filled with iniquity. Tsofar also had enough with Iyov's long speeches complaining against God and claiming his innocence. So let's hear the argument in the words of Tsofar. Harov dvarim lo ya'ane, ve'im ish sefataim yitzdak? Should a loquacious speaker not be answered, and an eloquent orator always be right? And also, what Sofar is saying is that Iyov is a person, an ish, a regular person with regular lips. He's eloquent, he speaks a lot, and he could be very influential and convincing. You know how sometimes you hear someone saying things and they say it well, but you know that it's not true, but they just say it so well that you're just going along with it? So that's what Tzofar is saying to Iyov. Just because you're eloquent and speaking a lot doesn't mean that what you're saying is correct or true. You have to be answered. Iyov, you keep on saying you are virtuous in God's eyes. But if God would be involved in this conversation, he would let us all know his limitless divine wisdom. And he would let us know that he is punishing you less than your sins, not more than your sins. So Far is saying, I know what God is thinking. You're wrong, and God is right. You can't understand God, so Far continues. You can't know his boundaries. It's higher than the heavens and deeper than Sheol, right, where all the dead go in Tanakh. It is wider than the earth and the sea. Who could challenge God? God discerns deceitful people and iniquities. Tzofar is stating clearly that God's punishment of Iyov, his children, and his wealth is even less than what Iyov deserves, and that God, in his infinite wisdom, knows the deceitful, meaning Iyov. For Tzofar, there's no gray area, there are no issues here to question. If Iyov is being punished, God, who is all-knowing and all-seeing, omnipotent and omniscient, is punishing Iyov. Because God is just, then whatever God does to Iyov is just. So obviously, Iyov must be guilty, and that's why this happens to him. So Tzofar continues in verse 12. Get a heart, Iyov. Stop acting like a donkey. Be a man. Focus your heart to heaven. Spread your hands and pray. Tzofar is telling Iyov, pray. Supplicate God. Send the iniquity in your hand and tent far away. Do tshuva. Repent. And then you can lift your face without blemish. You will be steadfast and never fear. You will be confident and have new hope. Uvatachta ki yesh tikva. Yeah. You will have security. And you will have hope. And none will be able to make you afraid. Everyone will seek out your favor. And the eyes of the wicked will despair when they see you in this state. So Tzofar is pretty much telling Iyov, you're obviously sinning. You sin terribly, but if you pray and you do tshuva, repent, then your end will be better. There's an irony, because even though Tzofar is saying that God's wisdom is beyond man, Tzofar is claiming to know exactly what God thinks of Iyov. Now, this is important for us to understand. Many of the views of the friends are religiously accepted and important views. It's important, and it's important for us as religious individuals or as individuals to understand that, of course, praying to God, repenting, knowing that God does everything is very central to our belief system. And what the friends are saying are true views. So why in the end of Iyov, the friends are not the heroes, and Iyov is the hero? God in the end praises Iyov and chastises, criticizes the friends. Could it be that even though they are speaking abstract truths about divine justice and punishment, that that should not have been the role they were playing here? Which means the friends come and they really should have consoled Iyov. But instead, they're teaching him theodicy. Theodicy is the vindication of divine goodness and providence in view of the existence of evil. But that was not their role here. They were playing God. It disturbed them to see that Eov, a person that they knew to be upright and good, to be punished this way. So it must be, says Sophar very clearly, but the friends also, that he must be guilty, because otherwise the world doesn't make sense to them. But their job here was not to be his philosophy teacher. It was not to press him in his time of anguish and despair to teach him a lesson. They should have comforted him and helped him deal with his tragedy instead of implicating him as the villain in his own ordeal. Their original goal was lanud lo ulenachamo, to nod their heads in empathy and comfort him. Give him nechama. But that's not what they're doing. So it's not that what they're saying is not true in theory, but it's not true for them to say that they know exactly what is happening to Eov and why. They don't have divine wisdom. They claim to know why this is happening to Eov. And they are very adamant about their positions, and woe unto Eov if he pushes back. But without prophecy, without nevuah, we don't know why things happen to others. When a prophet comes and says, this is why this happened, we know why this happened. But in our day, when people have tragedies, or their tragedies of all different kinds, of sickness, of death, of suffering, we don't know why this is happening. The soliloquies of the friends highlight for us the importance of sensitivity when dealing with people in pain. The three friends do not help Eov with his anguish, with his pain. So instead of helping him, comforting him, they are combative and they confront him. Should we be those kind of comforters? Are these individuals our exemplars, even though they might be saying very true ideas? To sum up, Tsofar is responding to Eov's claim of innocence, that Eov does not know God's thoughts and actions. God's wisdom is beyond man's comprehension. So Eov cannot be innocent if God is punishing him. The fact that God sent tragedies and suffering to Eov proves his guilt, according to Tsofar. God is always right, and Eov's job is to repent. Tsofar tells Eov that he must have sinned more than God is punishing him, and that he and his house were filled with iniquity. Tsofar also has had enough with Eov's long speeches and complaining against God and claiming his innocence. If Eov repents, his life will turn around. So again, even though Tsofar is saying very important, true ideas about suffering in general and about repentance in general and about God's wisdom in general and about prayer in general, that when we are in trouble, we turn to God, we pray, we repent. But the added element here, that they are blaming Eov or know exactly why this happened to him. And again, we know with the early story of what happened in heaven that this is a test. So we understand that life is a little more complicated than the clear-cut and accusatory approach of the friends. Next class, we will do Eov's response to Tsofar. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.